The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Soita, daf Yud Aleph, but we're a little behind. We are six lines from the top of daf Yud Amid Beis. So this morning, the Gemara spent a blot Gemara discussing the story of Shimshon HaGibbar. And one of the places that the story of Shimshon HaGibbar takes place is in a city called Timnas. Yehuda met Tamar in Timnas. So the Gemara does what it often does and digresses from the story of Shimshon HaGibbar to the story of Yehuda and Tamar. The pasuk says in Parshas Vayeshev, Vayireh Yehuda, Vayachshevel Lezoina, Ki Chisisa Poneh. Yehuda thought that Tamar was a Zoina, and the reason was because she was a Tznua. She was covering her face. Freit the Gemara, Mishum the Chisisa Poneh, Chashvel Lezoina. Because she was covering her face, that's why he thought she was a Zoina. To the contrary, if she was a Tznua, that would be indicative of the fact that she was not a Zoina. Amar Belazar, Sir Belazar said, Mishum the Chisisa Poneh, Beveis Chameh. What it means is that she was really Yehuda's daughter-in-law. She was married to two of Yehuda's son. So you would have thought that Yehuda would have known who Tamar was, and that this woman wasn't just a Zoina, but was rather his daughter-in-law. But it's because that she was such a Tznua, when she was in her Shver's house, she always covered her face. As a result, Yehuda didn't know who she was, and that's how the story came about. So it was because of Kisses Apaneo, Bebeis Chameo, that now Yehuda didn't recognize her, thus he thought that she was a Zoina. Nachmeni said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan that any kala, any daughter-in-law, any shneer that's a tsnua in her shver's house is going to be zoicha, that from her descendants will be malachim, kings, unavim, and avim. We know this mitamar. We learn it from Tamar. Nevi'im, how do you know that Tamar had Nevi'im come from her? Because the pasuk says, Chazon Yishayo ben Amoitz. Yishayo Hanavi was the son of Amoitz. Okay. And malachim, Nom Rav Levi, Dovaz Emesaris V'yadeinu Be'yabisenu, Amoitz V'amatzio Achim. And Amatzio was a melech Yisrael. He came from Malchus Beis David. David HaMelech came from Tamar. If Amatzio had a brother whose name was Amoitz, and Amatzio came from Malchus Beis David, that means Amoitz also came from Malchus Beis David, which means that Yeshayo ben Amoitz was a descendant from Tamar. Thus, Tamar was Zoichet to Malachim. The whole Shalsheles of Malchus Beis David came from Tamar. Not just that, Yeshayo Hanavi also came from Tamar because his father was the brother of one of the Malchi Yisrael. So you see that because she was a Tznua Beveis Chameo, she was Zoichet, that from her lineage came Malachim and Nevi'im. And that's what Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni said, that a Kala should know that if she's going to be a Tznua Beveis Chameo, she'll be zeicha, she'll merit that she'll have malachim in the game come from her. I saw the Ben Yayada is very bothered. He doesn't understand the Gemara. How's it possible to tell a girl today that if you're a tznua in your in-law's house, you're going to have malachim come from you? The malachim belong to Malchus Beis David. It's not true. You have to have royal blood in order to have malachim come from you. Navi and Memela, everyone's about b'chira. Anyone could become a Navi. But how's it possible that malachim are going to come from you? Says the Ben Yayada, man malchi rabbanon. This Gemara is a skula that if somebody wants to have rabbanim come from him, this is the skula how it can come about. It says that Tamar, as she's about to be killed, so she takes the mashkin, the eravon that Yehuda had given her, and he sends it to Yehuda. She sends it to Yehuda, and the message that she sends Yehuda is that you want to know who the boil was. It's the owner of these objects. So the pasuk says he mutzeis, which literally means she's on her way to the stake. She's about to be killed. But the Gemara says a diktuk, a grammar question. He mitutzas mi boile. That would have been the more appropriate lashon. Om Rabbi Lozos said mutzeis is milashon mitzia. La'achas shenimtzu simanah. She had lost these simanim that she wanted to send to Yehuda, and it was after she found them that she was able to send them to Yehuda. Why'd she lose them? It was Shaloi Kedar Chateva. But Samuel, who Sari Shalesov came, Verichakon, and took them away. The reason he took it away was because he knew that ultimately if Tamar is going to live, she'll marry Yehuda, they'll have children, and from those children will come Malchus Beis David. So Samuel's trying to prevent Malchus Beis David. So he wants her to lose the Simonim. Like this, they'll never know that it's Yehuda. Yehuda won't be able to confess. As a result, she's going to be killed. But what happened was, Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel, who was looking out for Klal Yisrael, Vikirvam, and he's the one who made sure that Tamar didn't lose it. In fact, she found it. Hainu dechsev lam natzeach ha-yoynes elem, rechoykim ledovim nichtam, and Omer Rabbi Yoichanan, mishoshen esirachku simonel. What's this pasuk referring to? That it was from the time that Tamar lost lost her simonim, nasis ki yoina ilemes. She was a yoina, she was a dove, but an ilemes, she was quiet, she lost her taina. Her old taina to save her life would have been the fact that she had these simonim, she had temporarily lost them. He mutzeis, she found them. How did she find them? Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel, was the one that found her on her behalf, says the Gemara. So we mentioned this pasuk, amnatzeach al yoinas elem, rechaikim ledavid michtam. So what does ledavid michtam mean? She yatsa be better David. The beginning of the pasuk, like we just said, is referring to Tamar, and Tamar was eichet to have David. Why is David called Michtam? Shehaya mach, he was humble, v'tam, and he was a tam, he was complete, he was shalim. L'chol dav, l'chol. Davar achar, Michtam shehisa makasoy Tamar. His makah, his wound was complete. What does that mean? Every baby, when they're 8 days old, a boy, has a wound because he has bris milah. But David HaMelech was noilad kishu mal. He was born mal, and because he was mal, therefore he was born with this wound, so to speak, being complete. Davar Acher, another pshat, michtam, kishen shebekatnusa hikten atzmeit samishu gadol bimenu, lul meitairah, just like when he was young and he had to learn from people. He wasn't a baishin, he had no problem going to other people to learn Torah. Kach begadluso, so too when he was older, he also wasn't afraid to learn Torah. In fact, the Mishnah's example of a chacham aloimid mikol adam is David HaMelech. So David, even begadluso, he was a loymed mikol adam. So one pshat the Gemara said is that why was David called Michtam? She noilad kishehu mal. Because David HaMelech was born mal. The Marsha in the Chidushei Agadis asks a very obvious bomb kasha. We're all familiar with the Gemara Maseches Menachos. We've discussed it in the daf together many, many, many times. The Gemara says when David HaMelech is running away from Shaul, it's a good Navi theme, the theme of the blatter that we're learning now. He's running away from Shaul. Shaul wants to kill him. He's in the Beis Merchitz. He's really afraid. Achen istakel b'mila. He saw his bris mila, and then he already had a nechama. What was his nechama? Because he remembered he had the mitzvah bris mila. Freak the Marsha. It's not true. It's a Gemara now. That David HaMelech was Noilad Mal. If he was Noilad Mal, then he in fact never had the Bris Milah. And for the Marsha, did a Tofes Dam Bris. What's the halach of a baby's born Mal? There might see a little bit of Dam. He had a Tofes Dam Bris. But the Marsha's kacha is that there's a Mandomer in Shas that says, Ain't Tzorich Lahatif Mimenu Dam Bris. That means if a baby's Noilad Mal, he's Mal. He's done. So what then? Oh, says the Marsha, the second Teretz, at least he wasn't an Ara. Exactly. He was happy that at least he wasn't an oral. But in Brisk, they say a different teretz. In Brisk, they say that it's Yedua, that Reb Chaim Brisker was very bothered. David HaMelech was concerned he didn't have any mitzvahs. Achin Asaka B'Mila, oh, I have a mitzvah. The mitzvah Mila he didn't have right now. The mitzvah Mila was a mitzvah that his father had done with him when he was a baby, when he was 8 days old. Elamai, he had a nechama because he once did a mitzvah. David HaMelech knew he once did many mitzvahs. David HaMelech did many mitzvahs. The Teretz says right now he didn't have a mitzvah. So how did he have a nechama when he was nestakel b'mila? So it's Yedua that Reb Chaim Brisker said that in the mitzvah Mila there's two mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah to do the maisa hamila, the chatichas ha'orla, the priya. That's one mitzvah. And the other mitzvah is there's a mitzvah for a yid to be a mahol. And that's a mitzvah that you can be mekayim b'chorega v'regas. I saw this b'shem Rabbi Chil Michal Feinstein. He said that could be that's the pshat. That second mitzvah to be a mahol, which was the mitzvah that David HaMelech got chizik from, it could be that you're mekayim even if you're noilad mal. Meaning, enochinami, if you're noilad mal, you can't do the ma'isa mila. Certainly not according to the mandomer that holds ain't sarach lahatif mimenu dam bris. But there's a second mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to be a mahol. And that has nothing to do with the fact that there was a ma'isa mila once done. Even someone that's noilad mal could be mekayim, the second mitzvah of being a mahol. That was his ikur nechama. That was something that applied to David, even though he was technically noilad mal. The pasuk says, "Vehi sholcha el chameha lemer leish asher eilaloi anoichi hara." So Tamar sends the mashkin back to Yehuda and tells Yehuda, "You want to know who the boil is? It's the person that owns these objects." Why is she talking in riddles? Why didn't she just tell Yehuda exactly what happened? Yehuda, it's he's the one. It was Yibum. I don't deserve to die, and that would end this whole situation. Why did she have to speak in a roundabout way? Amar Rav Zutcho bar Tuvia. Amar Rav. Amri lo Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna. Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. Amri lo Amar Rav Yechon Amishum Amishum Ben Yechai. A well-known Gemara. You know why Tamar didn't just say it? Because Noach Leila Adam Sheyapal Atzma L'Tech Kivshana Eish Val Yalbim Pnei Chaveri Berabim. Because she knew that if she would tell you everyone that Yehuda's the one that did it, she would embarrass Yehuda. And Noach Leila Adam, it's better to jump into a fire and kill yourself, which is what would have happened to Tamar, rather than embarrass Yehuda. So she made a decision that it's more chashuv not to embarrass Yehuda, even if it means at the expense of her own life. Tosfos over here, it's a well-known Tosfos, the top Tosfos on the Yom, it asks, a gevaldige kasha. We know there are three mitzvahs in the Torah, or three averis, that are yahari gevayavar. Ordinarily, if somebody says, eat chazer, I'll kill you. So, you're not allowed to eat chazer. I mean, to the contrary, you eat chazer, you don't get killed. If somebody tells you, be mechalal Shabbos, or I'll kill you. So you mechal Shabbos, with the exception of three mitzvahs, three averus, avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shvichas domen. Frank Tosis sounds like there's a fourth one. Noyach leila adam sheyapal atzmo letechkiv shana esh v'ayavu bnei chaver berabim. It's better to jump into a fire. Now the emesis is a shitas hamiri, where the Meiri says it's not a kasha because the Gemara doesn't say chayev. The Gemara says noyach. It's a good thing to do, meaning you don't have to do it, as opposed to a regular iser where not only is it, you're not mechuyev to do it, but you're not allowed to do it because you're not allowed to give up your life because there's aloch of a chay bohen. Over here, there's aloch of noechle. But Tosfos doesn't say that. Tosfos says the yesh loimar. Really, it is a fourth iser of Yehoreg Val Yavar. Why do we always know three? The three that we know are mefurashes b'teira, but mishum de averes halbonas ponim in a mefurash b'teira leinokat ela averes hamefurashes b'teira. Being that it's not mefurash in the Torah anywhere, it's for that reason it's not mentioned. In other words, Tosfos seems to paskin lehalacha noyach leila adam sheyapal atzman letechkif shana ish val yabam techaver berabim. It's not just a nice maimer agoda, but it's a halacha lemaisa. It's Yehoreg Val Yavar. So we always know three that are mefurash b'teira, but really there's a fourth, and the fourth one's not mefurash b'teira. That's why it's not mentioned with those three. But it's Yidua from Rabbeinu Yonah and Shai Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah said a different teretz. Rabbeinu Yonah said enochinami. The halach is true. A person has to give up his life not to embarrass his friend. So how come it's not mentioned? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's included in shlichas domen, because to embarrass somebody is the equivalent of killing somebody. Rabbeinu Yonah calls it avaka ratzicha. It's abzrayu deratzicha. It's abzrayu deshlichas domen, and that's why it doesn't count. What's the reason for it? Ma hakesher bein shvichas domin to ritzicha. So he says two pshatim. One pshat, he says ki ponav yechfiru. When a person is embarrassed, his face turns white. V'nos mare ha'oidam. It's as if he's losing his blood. It's somewhat similar to ritzicha. Dashenis, the second pshat, he says, is ki tzara al bona mar mimoves. There are people that would rather die than be embarrassed. It's just very painful. To be embarrassed is a very traumatic event, and it's for that reason, it's somewhat equivalent to death. I once heard a beautiful machshava, and that is, Rashi says, in the end of Parsha Shoftim, in the Parsha of the Egla Rufa. So what's the story of the Egla Rufa? You find a dead body, it's between two cities, you don't know who killed him. So what you do is, the closest city has to bring an eagle, and there's a whole process, a whole procedure that was played out. But there's a lot of halachas, very technical halachas, that governed Egla Rufa. It had to be an eagle, asheloi, olole, oil. They had to go to a Nachal Eson, that was an area that never made pirates. So Rashi, in the end of Parsha Shoftim, says, what was the reason for this? Omra Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tovay Egla Bashnosa, Shaloi Osasa Peres. Let an eagle, Bashnas, never made Paris, never had any children, never did anything. Let's kill it in a Nachal Eson, in a place that is not Oysa Paris, Lechaper al Harigose Shalzeh, to be Mechaper for the fact that this person died, Shaloi Hinichu Lases Paris. We didn't allow him to do Paris. When a person dies, it's tragic, it's horrible. The person is created with Salam Aleichem, a lot of people suffer, a lot of people have Yisurim from it, but the greatest tragedy, says Rashi, that comes to the world when a person dies is that every person has a tafkid. Every person was put on this world to accomplish something. And when you kill somebody, you're taking away his ability to contribute, his ability to accomplish his tachlis. If you're not around, you can't be Oysa Peres anymore. And that's why all the symbolism of the Egla Rufa was Egel Shaloi Oysa Peres, in a place that doesn't have an ability to make Peres, to show what's so terrible about what happened. This homicide took away a person that will not be able to fulfill his potential. He will not be able to be Yosef Harris. The tragedy, the greatest tragedy of Ritzicha, is the fact that a person has a potential and he cannot fulfill his potential. When somebody embarrasses somebody, that person loses his self-esteem. He starts feeling like he has a lesser self-worth. That person is at risk right now to not be able to fulfill his potential. Because for a person to be able to go through life and really maximize on the koiches that Hashem gave him, he has to feel good about himself. He has to have self-esteem. You build somebody up, you're giving him an ability to reach his potential. You push somebody down, you embarrass him, you mavaz him, you take away that ability, it's doyma teshvichas. That's avak ritzicha. It's avak ritzicha because the yisoid of ritzicha is taking away a person's ability to be yosef peres. That's something, albeit on a much smaller scale, happens when there's halbonas upon him. Either way, hakirna. So Yehuda, Tamar tells Yehuda, do you recognize this? When Yehuda and the brothers came to Yaakov and they brought the ksenas pasim, making believe that Yosef was killed. So what did they tell Yaakov? Hakirna. They tell their father, do you recognize the shirt? So what happened years later? Midah k'neged midah, that's the theme of these Gemaras. Hashem comes back to Yehuda through Tamar, and Tamar says, Hakir no, this Bushto. Now that Yehuda's going to have was prefaced with the word Hakir no. Behakir bisru, behakir biser. Hakir no, ksenis binchohi. Behakir bisru, Hakir no, limi. Says the Gemara, no. Said, Hakir no. Why the word? No, ain't no, losh makasha. Armalish is begging Yehuda, bevakasha mimcha, Hakir pnei boirech, va'al talame necha mimeni. Meaning, at the end of the day, Tamar's really hoping that Yehuda is going to confess, because she's not going to embarrass him, but she's hoping that he's going to be willing to step forward. Vayakir Yehuda vayoymer, sotko mimeni. Hainu da amir abchana barbizna, amir abshim mechasido. Yosef, shekidashem shemayim beseifet. Yosef, who was mekadashem shemayim beseifet. Say, so that was the story of the Ishus Beitifar. No one really knew about it. His reward was that they added one letter to his name, a letter that's one of the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, of the Shem Havaya. The Chsiv Eidos B'Yehoisef. His name was Yosef, not B'Yehoisef. They added a hey. It's from the Yud K Vav K. Why did he get this reward? Because he was Mekadosh Shem Shamayim B'Seser. Yehuda, Shekidosh Shem Shamayim B'Farhesya. Yehuda, however, was Mekadosh Shem Shamayim B'Farhesya. With this story right here, he stepped forward and he made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. You would have thought he made a Chil Hashem. No, he made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Zocha V'Nikra Kuloy Al Shmoy Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has in his entire name Yehuda, you have the Osius, Yud K Vav K. Kivan Shahoida, V'Amar Tzadka Mimeni, as soon as he was Moida and said Tzadka Mimeni, Yotzitza Baskol. Baskol came out of V'Amar and said, Ato Hitzalta Tomar Ushne Banem in the Ur, you saved Tomar and her two sons from the Ur, Chayecho Shani Matzel B'Schuscha Gimel Mibanecha Min Ur. Again, Mida Kineged Mida, there'll be a Mida Kineged Mida, three of your sons will be saved from the fire. And Maninu, who are these three sons? Chananya, Mishael, V'Azaria. Tzotka Mimeni, Mino Yoda, says the Gemara, had it Yehuda ultimately know that these children that she had were from him, says the Gemara, you're right, he couldn't have known, meaning he knew that he was Mizdavik with Tamar, maybe other people were as well. How did he know that these were his children? Says the Gemara, Yotzis a baskel of Amr Meni Yotzik Vushim. It was actually a baskel that said it, and that's how we know. And what it means is that he continued to live with Tamar. He lived with her as a husband and wife. Amr Shmuel Saba, Chamua de Rav Shmuel Barami, the Shver of Shmuel Barami, Mishmei de Rav Shmuel Barami, Kivan Sheyada, Shuvle Pasak Mimeno. As soon as he knew her, he always continued to know her. Ksiv Hachav Ala Yosef Oidla Daito, Viksiv Hasam Koil Godol, Veloi Yosef. There's a very interesting halachic discussion right here on this Gemara. It's Yedua from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, the Baal Sefer Chassidim in the Sava. So he says that when a person does a shidduch, he shouldn't take a chassin, a son-in-law, for his daughter that has the same name as him. So if his name is David, he shouldn't take a son-in-law whose name is David. If his name is Moshe, he shouldn't take a son-in-law whose name is Moshe. It's mentioned in the Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So the Achronim ask a kasha from this Gemara, because the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel Saba, his name was Shmuel, Chamud Rav Shmuel Barami, he was a Shver, Rav Shmuel Barami. That means the Shver and the Eden both had the same name. They had the name Shmuel. How was he allowed to do it? So I saw the Achronim ask a kasha from here on the Sefer Chassidim, that this would seem to be a kasha, a raya, that there's no problem. Some say that maybe Shmuel Saba was two names, or being that he was called Shmuel Saba, and the other one was called Rav Shmuel, even though the Iker name, the name they gave at the Bris, the name they called up for the Aliyah, was the same name. Maybe it's not considered Mamish the same name. Either way, that's Akasha. It's interesting, we've spoken out one tshuva about this in the past, but in Beis Medrash B'lai Chiddush will be Moisef one Chiddush today. And that is, we've spoken out in the past the tshuva from the Noida Behuda. The Noida Behuda is in Evin Ezer Simen Ayin Tes, Chelik Tinyona. And the Noida Behuda over there says that the question that was asked to him was by a Talmud of his. So apparently this Talmud asked him the following question. This Talmud was Loyalenu sick. He was a Bacher, he was sick. And as a Schus for Refuah Shleima, they changed his name. Now, they're reading him a Shidduch, and the Shver's name is the same as the name that he changed his name to. And the question is, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says, you're not supposed to marry a girl whose father has the same name as you. So he's not sure if he should do the Shidduch. So maybe he writes him as follows, that I'm not really involved in Savois. It's not something that I have so much time for. And in general, he said, he wasn't comfortable with the whole Shaila. He says, but you're a Talmud Chaviv and Ahuvi. I love you so much. I'm going to answer it simply because I see that it means something to you. So he makes a disclaimer. He says, it's Pashit Adla Ma'od that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid wrote his Savah for his own Mishmacha. So you've heard that. It comes from the Noida Yehuda. He says, it's Pashit that it was never meant for the masses. And his Raya is because there are a lot of things in the Savah that are Seiser, Halachas in the Torah. We've spoken about some of the Makaris in the past. There are halachas that are soiser dinim in the Torah. And he says, I don't care who. A Rishon, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, is not allowed to be soiser davar minat Torah. So it must be that when he wrote this Sava, he didn't mean it for the Amoyinam. He meant it for his own mishpacha. Why did he write it? Says the Rabbi Yehuda, he must have seen Baruch HaKodesh, that for his family this would be good minhagim. A minig for a mishpacha, there's nothing wrong with that. But to make it a halacha psuka that every yid has to observe it when it's connected certain chukei Torah, that's something that certainly can't be an issue. But then at the end of the tshuva, the Rabbi Yehuda says, but besides, your shayla is not a shayla anyways. He says, why? Because you weren't born with this name. This name was a name that was changed later on in life. It can't be that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid ever meant the name like that. And he gives two reasons. The second one is interesting. He says, because shtel tzachfar now, you can have a shver who doesn't like his son-in-law. So he wants to throw him out of the house. So what's he going to do? He's going to go to shul, Misha, he's going to give lekach brofen, he's going to change his name. He knows his son-in-law is a frumo. He knows he's machmir on the tzavah, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And now the guy's going to be afraid, so he's going to, he may want to divorce his daughter. It'll be a good way out. So he says, it just can't be, it's a dangerous weapon. They do the rights of the tshuva. So the bottom line is, he says, all it is a minig. And then he writes, he says, I see people that are so nizerim and hug him. He says, no, halavai, the halachas in the Torah should be so worrisome to people, like a tzava ba'alma, as lashon is, like the hey, look, tzava ba'alma, it was a will. That's what it was, a final testament. That was a tzava Yehuda HaChassid. Now people asking shailas across the world when it comes to gufei Torah, people are mezalzeling it, so the Yehuda wasn't so happy about that. But either way, that's the tshuva in the Yehuda. But it's interesting that there was a similar shaila that was asked to the Chassam Sofer. There's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, and he writes as follows. Apparently, there was someone who was read a shidduch for his daughter, and this person that they're reading is a choshev, a Talmud Chacham. But he has the same name as him. He doesn't want to do the shidduch. So he found the perfect mitzoyin, top guy in BMG. We're going to read the shidduch. The problem is, he has the wrong name. Everything is right but his name. So the question is, should he do the shidduch? So he sent the shiloh to the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer said as follows. Ahuvi, man deloy kapit, loy kaptinim bade. Very simple rule of thumb with the Tzavah Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. If you're concerned, then you should be concerned. Law of attraction. But if you're not concerned, then you have absolutely nothing to be concerned about. This is what the Gemara says regarding Ayin Hara. That if you're concerned with Ayin Hara, you have to worry about it. Umanda like kapit, like kaptinon. Ubefrat ikka kanschus Torah. Says, befrat, we're discussing over here in Edom, that's a Talmud Chacham. He says, certainly you don't have to worry about it. And he says something beautiful. He says, da afilu ad beis Eli. The beis Eli were cursed, that all the descendants from Eli were going to die young. And yet the Gemara says that Abaya and Rava, they had a Richas Yomim. Why they have a Richas Yomim? Because they learned Torah. So he says, madoch, the koyach of Torah was able to overcome a klala that's mentioned in Nach midabes Eli. Certainly, you can overcome any potential fallout that may come from being over this Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And then he says something else. He says that if you look later in the Sefer Chassidim itself, not in the Tzavah, he mentions this, and there he says that it's only a problem if it's three daughters. So if you have a father, a son, and a grandson, or a mother, daughter, and all three husbands have the same name, that's a chutam mishulish, then already you have to worry about it. But if you don't have the chutam mishulish, you don't have to worry about it. Oh.
And his
Edom is Moshe. All three. Yeah, two Edoms, Moshe. Moshe Tenver and Moshe Shiskal. He had two sons-in-law whose first name was Moshe. But I did see Al-Pi the Chassidim, Al-Pi Kabbalah, that apparently Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says it with regards to the men and regards to the women as well. So, for example, a Shviger and a daughter-in-law. And Al-Pi Kabbalah, it's a lot more Chomor. When it's with the women, I think people are more Makbid, in fact, when it comes to women than it is with the men. And that's really Al-Pi the Arizal. It's Al-Pi Kabbalah. But in terms of the Ikrit Tzavah Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he mentions both as far as whether people are machped or not. So that's this discussion right here. Either way, so we turn our attention from Shimshon HaGibor to Yehuda and Tamar to the story of Avshalom. So Avshalom is mentioned in the Mishnah. He was someone that was punished midah keneged midah. Avshalom was nisgah b'sayroi. He had beautiful hair. He was a very handsome person. And he was nisgah b'sayroi, midah keneged midah. He was killed with his hair. So we don't really have time to go through the whole story the way we did this morning of Avshalom with Shimshon HaGibor. But the 60-second, the elevator pitch version of the story of Avshalom is that Avshalom was David HaMelech's son. And Avshalom killed one of David's sons, because apparently one of David's sons was Ma'anes, his sister, Amnon, was Ma'anes, his own sister Tamar, and another brother, a common brother that they had, it was actually a half-brother, Avshalom went, and Avshalom killed Amnon. David HaMelech was very upset about the fact that Avshalom had killed his brother, his own son. He was upset at him, and Avshalom was sent into exile. He went to exile for 3 years. After 3 years, he comes back to Yerushalayim. But now that he didn't come back, he decided that he's going to stage a rebellion against David. He wants to be the king. And apparently, physically, he had a lot of gifts, and he was very charismatic. He had a lot of personality. He was able to rally the troops to the point where Reuben, the Reuben of Klal Yisrael, was supporting Avshalom and not David. To the point where David, to save his life, had to flee himself, and he had to run away from Avshalom. And that's the famous Mizmor, Kapitel Gimel in Tehillim, Mizmor to David, Bevarchem ibn Avshalom. And he literally had to run away. That David HaMelech, he sang Shira, even though he was running away from his son who wanted to kill him. But either way, that's the story of David Avshalom. At some point later in the future, they meet up. There's a battle between the camp of David, led by Yoav ben Tzruya, and the camp of David and camp of Avshalom. And Avshalom is riding on a mule, as the Gemara is going to say, and his hair gets stuck in a branch. And as Yoav's people are coming, and he's trying to untangle his hair, and he can't untangle it. And finally, Yoav comes, and he throws 10 spears at him, and he kills Avshalom. And that's the very short version of the story of Avshalom. But what we need for our sugi is that he was Niska Besaira. He was a Balgaiva with his beautiful hair, and therefore he was Nitla Besaira. He got killed. His hair got stuck. That was the irony. That was the Mida Kenegan Mida. That's the way he got killed. Tanu Rabbanan. Avshalom Besaira Morad. Avshalom was married with his sar. Shenemar. Avshalom Loihoya Ish. Yofel, Bechol Yisrael, Lahalom Mi'oid. There was no one more handsome than Avshalom. Mikaf Ragloi, from his feet, Vaad Katkadoi, until his forehead, Loi Hoya by Mum, Ubegalcha Yisroishoi, and when he would shave his head, Vahoyim Mikes Yom La Yom Mashi Galeach, he covered all of the Gilchoi, he would cut his hair, the Shokalas, every year he would cut his hair, he would take his hair, and it would weigh Masayim Shkolim, the Evan HaMelech. Why did he shave his hair only once every 12 months? In fact, it's machlokes in the Gemara whether it was once every 12 months, every 30 days, because he was a Nazir. Avshalom was a Nazir Olam, and that's the halacha of a Nazir Olam, that called Yud Beis Chodesh, at least according to one man, the Amar, he's Meiko Betar. Says the Gemara, so he would cut his hair, and his hair weighed so much, it was ke Masayim Shkolim be'Evan HaMelech Tano, Evan Anshei Tveri ve'Anshei Tzipoyim Shaiklim. What was this? Evan HaMelech, it was the Avonim that were used in Tveri and Tzipoyim, which apparently weighed more than ordinary Avonim. Lafichach, it's because he was Nisgoy. He had Gaiva with his Ar, then Nitlo Besairei. Where was he killed? That's that story where he's riding on the mule. Vayikra Avshalom Lefnei Avdei David Vavshalom Reichav Al HaPeret. He's riding on the mule. Vayovei HaPeret Tachas Shoivach Ha'Elo HaGedoylo. Vayoichaz Roishoi Ba'Olo. His hair gets stuck. Vayutem Ben HaShemayim Ben HaOretz. VaPeret HaShotach Devavar. So he's hanging now from the branches, and the mule goes, walks off. He's going to find food. So he was stuck over there. Says the Gemara, so Avshalom takes out his sword, chuckles Avzira, so what do you do if you're stuck? So naturally, you cut your hair, you fall off, and you run for your life. So that's what Avshalom wanted to do. So why did he do it? We learned in the Braisa, the Rabbi Shmuel, but what happened was, Gehenim opened up in front of Avshalom. And Avshalom realized that if he's going to fall off the tree, he's going right into the Sheol. And that's why he didn't go. The Pasuk says that eventually Yoav gets Avshalom and he kills it. And word comes to David HaMelech, Avshalom's father, that his son was just killed in battle. Now this is a son who wanted to kill David, who was murdered by Malchus. He literally made him run away from his family, run away for his life. But what's David HaMelech's reaction when he hears that his son was killed? Vayirgaz HaMelech, I'm reading from the side. Vayal al Aliyas Ashar, he goes up to the canopy. Vayefk, and he cried. Vekoyomar Belechta, and this is what he said. Bini Avisholim, Bini Avisholim, Miyitein Musi, Ani Tachtecha Avisholim, Bini. Halavai, you would have taken my life. Why did you have to die? I wish I would have died. Vamelech Lot Asponim, I'm just reading the next pasuk. Vayizak HaMelech Kogodo, Bini Avisholim, Avisholim, Bini. So he's wailing. This is David HaMelech crying. What happened to his son? Says the Gemara, Tamnei Bni Lama. He mentions the word Bni, my son, 8 times in these 2 psukim. Why do you say Bni, Bni, Bni? Why do you keep on saying it? Says the Gemara, Shiva da askim shiva vidur Gehenim. Because he saw David HaMelech, that Avshalom who just died was going straight to Gehenim. And the Shiva Madure Gehenim. Then he said Bini to take him out of one of the Madure Gehenim. And then Bini again to take him out of another one of the Madure Gehenim. The eighth, so that's only 7. Why the 8th time? The idach ikadamri, some say the car of Rachel Gabi Gufi, because his head had fallen off. He wanted his head to come back to his guf. The ikadamri, the isili almadasi. It's not enough to go out of Gehenim. You have to go into Gan Eden. So he said it an eighth time, so like this, he would enter Olam HaBa. We'll see more about this in a moment. Avshalom lokach vayatzav lebekayach. My lokach is a pasuk that says Avshalom took something. Amar ishlokach lokach mekach ro la'atzmai. He did a bad deal. He took bad advice. And ultimately, the advice was to rebel against his father David, and clearly it didn't play out the way he wanted it to. Es matzevas asher be'emek Hamelech, Omer Abchanina Bar Papa. What's this lashon of Be'emek Hamelech? Be'etsa Amuka Shel Malchus Shalayim. This all happened as a manifestation of a very deep etsa that Hakadosh Baruch Hu had. Meaning, Avshalom died obviously for his averus, but to a certain degree, it was a shtickle predestined. The chesed, because the pasuk says, after the story of David and Bathsheba, the story of David and Uriah Hachiti. The Nosan Anavi comes and he gives a Musar and he says, Hinini make him alecha rabmi beisecha, that you're gonna see bad is gonna come from your family. And unfortunately David had a lot of tzaris, and this is one of the tzaris that David HaMelech had, that his own son was murdered, and ultimately his own son was punished. Ki yitzah b'davar, similarly you find that the brothers were sent to Chevron. This is with the story of Yosef and the brothers. Amr Abchanir Bar Papa Be'etza Amuka Shalaisa Tzadik Shech Kover B'Chevron Dechsiv Yadoya Tedek Yerzaracha. It wasn't punked that this whole story played out, but it was because Hashem had already told Avram that your descendants one day are going to end up in Mitzrayim. And how did it play out that they actually ended up in Mitzrayim? It played out through the story of Yosef being sold, the Mechiras Yosef. That's how it ended up happening. Avshalom says, Ki Amar Inli Bena. At some point he erects a matzeva for himself, a monument for himself. Why did he do it? He said, because I have no children. Is that true? You have three sons and a daughter. Sounds like a family. He didn't have a son that was roy to take over as king. We learned, someone who burns his friend's tfua will not leave over a son to inherit his own possessions. You took away his possessions, your possessions won't go over Be'erusha either. Even if it means Nebuchadnezzar will die. The EU Kalila de Yoav. And we know that Avshalom burnt Yoav's possessions. So Chizda said, you want to know why Avshalom had sons and now he says he has no sons? They must have died. Why would they have died? What would he have done to die? He was served to Rosh Hashanah Chaveiroi, and that's the rule. He's going to lose his children. So we had over here an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that Avshalom died. And David HaMelech sees Baruch HaKodesh that Avshalom's going straight to Gehenna. He's going to the Shiva Madure Gehenna. So David, as a concerned father, is very worried. So he starts davening. He says, Bini, Bini, Bini. He says it eight times. Seven times to take him out of the Shiva Madura Gehenna. And then an eighth time that he should be Aisala Al-Mud Asi, he should be able to enter the world to come. That means David's schus was matzel for his son Avshalom. Avshalom was in Gehenna, but it was because of David that he was able to creep out of Gehenna. Freik Toisviz, the bottom Toisviz on the summit, Yudamid Beis, the Ikasha, Ha'amru Bechelik, the Gemara says, Bro Misaka Abba. A son can be mezaka a father, meaning if a son does good things, the father gets chusam for it. But Abba le mezaki bro. But if a father does good things, the son's not necessarily going to get from it. And the svar is very poshut. A father has an impact on his children. Children don't necessarily have an impact on their parents. So bro, mezaki Abba. But Abba le mezaki bro. So Frey Tosfos, how do you reconcile it with this Gemara right here? You see that David was the goyim that Avshalom was able to get out of Gehenna. I thought Abba le mezaki bro. V'yeshloimar says Tosfos. Two terutz and tefillah is different. David didn't just have schusim that caused that Avshalom should be able to creep out of Gehenna. David davened that Avshalom should get out of Gehenna. Tefillah is already a whole different story. I mean that tefillah is a whole different story with the koyach of tefillah, a father's able to be matzel for a son. There's a tshuva from the Rashba. Shailos Tshuvas HaRashba, where the Rashba asks that how can you tell me Abba LeMezakeh Bro? Don't we say in Shemayna Esrei V'Zeichach Az De'Avos? We're always remembering the Schus of the Akedah, Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. So obviously we're trying to be Ma'orer Rachmei Shemayim based on Schus Avos. So you see, there's a concept of Schus Avos, Abba LeMezakeh Bro. So what do you mean that Abba's Loi Mezakeh Bro? That's the Rashba's kasha. So the Rashba said Kan Bo'ilam Azeh. And kan ba'olam haba. In olam hazeh, when a person's on this world, he can have schusam, he can have benefits as a result of having a chosh of a father. So someone who's a tzaddik, his children will benefit from it. There's a concept of abba mezaki brought in olam hazeh. But in olam haba, there it doesn't work. And that was Tosfos Kasha, that Avshalom was already in olam haba. So how was David, Tzchusim, able to work for Avishalom, Peretz is Tefillah Shaini. Tefillah was already different. And he says the reason is because the connection that the father has to his son is through his guf. Gimel Shutfim Ba'adam. The father provides the Olam Hazah for the son. As a result, he has a koyach to continue to provide Olam Hazah for his son through his Tzchusim. But in Olam Haba, there the Shutf is already HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's already a whole different deal. That Neshama comes from Hashem. There he doesn't have a chelik. Therefore, he's mezakim in Olam Hazeh. He's not mezakim in Olam Haba. But one more Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim says an unbelievable thing. He says that really a father doesn't have a koyach to be mezakim his son. But listen to a Dov and Nifla. The Gemara just said that why did this whole story happen with Avshalom? It was because of David. It was David's Avera, Kaviyachol, with Uriah and Bathsheba that caused Avshalom ultimately to die. David had a chelik in the Misa of Avshalom. It was for that reason, he was a baldover over here. He was able, with his schusim, to be able to get him out. It was David's lack of schusim that caused it. So as a result, his schusim was able to get him out of the shoal. Very tief for Sefer Chassidim. Ordinarily, Abba Loi Mezaki, bro. But over here, being that it was his own lack of schusim that had played a role in Avshalom ending up dying, it's for that reason his schusim in the converse, had an ability to somehow be matzlam. A little bit more Gemara. So the Mishnah says, just like you find the le'in peronius, you find the same thing le'in teiva, mida keneged mida. Hashem punishes mida keneged mida. Hashem also rewards mida keneged mida. And the Mishnah gave two examples. We had the example of Miriam. Miriam waits for the baby, Moshe, who's in the Nilus, for a very short period of time, and therefore years later, they wait for Miriam in the Midbar. And so too you find that Yosef was Isaac in the Atzmos of his father, in the Kfura of his father. Moshe, therefore, was Isaac in the Atzmos Yosef. But the Gemara asks Akasha, Midami? It's not Midakinagin Midam. Chasim Chadashaita, Hachashiva Yoimi. Miriam waited one Shah, and they waited for her 7 days. That's not Midah Keneged Midah. It was much more. Amar Abaya, Emo Ulinyin HaTeve Enakein. Amend the Mishnah. Mishnah doesn't mean it's also true for Midah Teve. To the contrary, it's not true for Midah Teve. Midah Teve, the reward is actually more. Amalei Rava, Havachein Linyin HaTeve Ktani. Can't just change the words of a Mishnah. Ela Marava, Hachi Ktani. Vechein Linyin HaTeve Deba'isa Midah. You find the same idea with a Midah Teve that it's there is a concept of Midah Keneged Midah, Ula Oila Midah Teve, Meruba, Midas Peronius. But whereas when it comes to Peronius, it's a very simple quid pro quo. When it comes to Teve, the reward can sometimes, you do something for a Shah Achatz, the reward that you're going to get can be literally be for 7 days. And that's Pshat, that the Chen Linya, the Tesatzav, Achoyse Meirochik. Miriam literally is waiting from afar. But Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Pasuk Zed is a hidden meaning to this Pasuk. It also means the Shechina. It means the Shechina, Kavi Yochel, was standing, guarding Moshe, because this baby had a tremendous destiny. He was going to be the Mashiach for Klal Yisrael. He would take Didin Adam Mitzrayim. So the Shechina, Kavi Yochel, was protecting Moshe to make sure nobody was going to come. What do you see in this Pasuk? Vateisatzav, Achoysoi, Meirochoik, Lodeya, Maya Yosaloi, which word means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said Rabbi Yitzchak, the Ganz pasuk means a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the satzav you find the chesed vayovay Hashem vayisiatzef. Achoysoi the chesed emelachach ma'chesiyat. Mirochik the chesed mirochik Hashem nirali. Vodas the chesed tikel deres Hashem. Ma the chesed ma Hashem shoyel mimcha. Yaseh the chesed kilo yaseh Hashem alikim davar. Loi the chesed vayikru le Hashem shalom. So every word mentioned in this pasuk you find somewhere else is mentioned in reference in the same context of Hashem. Thus the pasuk literally means that Miriam was watching. But there's also a hidden meaning that Hashem himself was watching. So says the Gemara, Vayoka Melech Chadash. So we mentioned the story of Miriam. Miriam is waiting for Moshe. Moshe, of course, took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. So the Gemara now is going to digress. Very well-known I got it to Gemaras. Many of these Gemaras we're going to learn now are all Rashis and Chumash. Anyone that went to a Chassidish elementary school like I did knows these Rashis in their sleep. We were forced to know these Rashis. But either way, so you have over here these Chazals, well-known Gemaras and Mamari Chazal about the story of when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim. Vayoka Melech Chodosh, says the Pasig, Rabbi Shmuel, Chadomer Chodosh Mamish, one says it was literally a Melech Chodosh. Vachadomer, Shenizchat Shuk Zeroysov, that this Melech Chodosh, who came to power after Yosef died, mentioned right in the beginning of Parashat Shmos, wasn't literally a Melech Chodosh, but he came with new Gzeres. He changed his policies. He switched over from Republican to Democrat. He had a whole new political agenda, and that's what it means. Shenischatruk zeiros. Manda machadosh mamish. Now the manda says chadosh mamish. Why does it say chadosh mamish? The because that's what it says. Chadosh. Who manda amash shenischatruk zeiros of to like siv ayamas vayimla? Because you don't find anywhere that says anybody died. And say someone died, and there was a new melech. So it sounds like it must have been the same melech. Ashal yada es Yosef. What does it mean? Ashal yada es Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. How is it possible not to know Yosef? Yosef was a very well-known, famous person. Whether it was Melech Chodesh Mamish, or it was just Nischachul Exer Yosef, certainly this is, he had to know Yosef. Zok to Gemara, the Havikim Yid Mandalay Yodalekla. It was as if he didn't know him. He made believe he didn't know who he was. He wasn't Machshev who he was. But, of course, literally he didn't know. Vayomer Alamo Hine Abnei Yisrael. So he turns to his nation. This is Paroi. And he says that the Bnei Yisrael, they're a robust nation. And I'm worried about them. Says the Gemara, Tano, who has Chavei Tzatchila? Paroi was the one who initiated this idea to enslave the Yidden. Levigil Nachat Tchila. So therefore, when the Mitzrayim were punished, he was punished first. Who has Chavei Tzatchila? How do you know that? Vayomer Alamo. He tells his nation, Levigil Nachat Tchila. Therefore, he was punished first. Kedichsev, ubecha, ubeamcha, ubechal avadecha. First you, then your nation, then your avadim. But he was punished first. Hava nischak malo. The pasuk says that Paroi goes to his advisors and he says, hava nischak malo. Let's come up with some sort of idea. We have to figure out how to solve the Jewish problem, right? Says the Gemara, lohem mi boyle. He should have said, lohem, why nischak moloi? Amr abchamer abchanino. What he really meant to say was, medafsechanaitzegeben with Hashem, Hashem himself. Boyu v'nechakim l'meshin shal Yisrael. B'mani doina, how exactly should we punish Klal Yisrael? Nidoina ba'esh, should we punish them with fire? Ksiv, it says, hine Hashem ba'esh yavoi. Hashem is going to take revenge. Mida keneged mida, with fire. V'ksiv, ki ba'esh Hashem nishpat, another pasuk. B'cherev, should we kill them with cherev? Ksiv ubecharbay is called basar. Hashem is going to take revenge with the cherev. Elo, I have an idea. Bayu v'nidoina b'mayim. Let's punish them with water. Shekfar nishba kodesh baruch hu. Sheinay mevo mabel loyelam. That he's not going to bring a mabel. So that's the best way to do it. Hashem's going to want to punish us back. He won't be able to because Hashem punishes mida keneged mida. And if we punish with mayim, Hashem can't punish us back with mayim. Shenemar ki mei noyach zoisli. There was a shvu already that Hashem is not going to destroy the world with mayim. Heinenim yoidim. But they made a mistake. What they didn't know was. It's true, Hashem swore that he's not going to destroy the world with Mayim. But that's the whole world. One nation, it could be he will destroy. Inami, another reason why they have made a mistake. Hashem's not going to bring the water to them, but he'll bring them to the water. And therefore, it wasn't a good cheshbon, and although they thought they were going to outsmart Hashem by punishing the Yidden with Mayim, ultimately, it's not the way it ended up working out. Incidentally, it would seem from this Gemara, that when Hashem swore that he's not going to bring a mabel, he meant dafka mabel shomayim. But a mabel shalish, for example, maybe yeah. Meaning Hashem swore the rainbow will never destroy the world. Was the shvua dafka with mayim he won't destroy the world? What about with some other means? Could it be the world will be destroyed? Is it possible to be a nuclear war and the world is going to destroy? Is that a possibility? So the Rechayim and Parashas Noach has a whole arichas where he discusses this Shiloh, this Midrashim this way, this Midrashim that way, there are Gemaras this way, the Gemaras that way. So this is definitely one of the Gemaras, Ein Kam Mekoyim Laharech, but this is certainly one of the Marmekoyimis where it would seem clear that the whole Shvuah was Dafka on Mayim, but on Eish or Cherev or some other means, there the Shvuah was never said. V'cheinu Oimer, Mitzrayim Nisim Lekrasi. That's going back to the previous point that they went to the water, not the other way around. They were cooked in the same pot that they wanted to cook the Yidden. Meaning, they thought they were going to punish the Yidden with Mayim. And how did they ultimately get punished? The Kriyas Yamsuf, that was with Mayim. Says the Gemara, Mayim Mashno, where does Bidvar Asher Zodu Aleim have anything to do with cooking? The high Zodu Lishon of the Kteru, the Chsiv, Vayozed, Yaakov Nozed, right? He cooks lentils for, and ultimately he buys the Bechayra from Esav with the Vayized Yaakov Nozed. Incidentally, if you look at the Archaim says that this is a good Eitzah for someone that wants to get something from Esav. So you want to get something from Esav. So what do? Vayozed Yaakov Nozed. Give him something to eat. This is the Makar to the business lunch. You feed him. You give him something. Yaakov said, now, let's do lunch. I'll pick up the tab. And the next thing you know, Esav lost the Bechayra. So this is the Makar of Ayazad Yaakov. Amr Abchir Barabba. Amr Absimoi. Shloish Shahoy Baise Eitzah. So Pari goes to his Chachamim. And he says, Hova Neschak Moloi. Right, let's, Medafsachan Eitzah gave him a Tidin. What could we do? Says the Gemara, Shloish Shahoy Baise Eitzah. There were three people that were sitting. And they were his people, his consultants, his tribunal. Bilam, the Eiv, the Yisrael. And they all gave different advice. Bilam Sheyat Nerak. Bilam said, kill the Jews. Absolutely. Pare, what you're saying makes perfect sense. We don't need them. We should enslave them. Let them build pyramids. Pisaim Ramses. I think we should definitely kill them. As a result, Mida Keneged Mida, years later, what happens to Bilam? Bilam ends up getting killed. Eiv Sheshasak. Eiv was quiet. Eiv was one of his advisors. He didn't say anything. And because he was quiet, he was not killed, but he was punished. And Nidam Biyasurin. Yisroi ran away. He said, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Ubarach and Yisroi Shebarach Zochu Mibnei Bonav Sheyoshu Lishas Agazes Shenema Mishbachai Seifrim Yoshve Yaivetz Teresayim Shmat Either way, you find that from the Bnei Keni, there were people that sat in the Lishkas Hagazis, and who's Bnei Keni? That's Chayis of Moshe. So you see that Yisrael was Zoicha that Bnei Bonav Ayosha B'Lishkas Hagazis. He had these three advisors, they all gave different advice, and everybody was punished in a different way. So just two things, and we'll conclude with this. Number one, it's Yedua from the Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav said, what did Eve do so bad? Eve was Shasak. Sachako, he didn't say anything. He didn't say kill the Jews. He didn't say don't kill the Jews. He was Shasak. Is that such a big deal? And he said, not just that. I have no doubt, had Eve said something, and said, don't kill the Jews, Pari went to listen to him. And how do you know that? Because what happened to Yisroi? Yisroi was Barach. It doesn't say Yisroi that said, save it. Yisroi said Barach. Yisroi had to run for his life. That was his way of dealing with it. Meaning, Pari wasn't going to listen to him anyways. So what was the big deal? And why was he punished so badly? Said the Briskerov that if somebody puts his hand into a fire, you touch something very, very hot, or a needle goes into you, what do? You scream. The Briskerov said, Shreitman. And that was the Mida Keneged Mida. What was Eev's punishment? His punishment was he was Nidam Yisurin, Eric Yishreit. He had to feel pain to show that his punishment was for not really feeling the pain of the Yidden that they would have to go through by being slaves of Parai. And that was the Mida Keneged Mida. That's the first Dvar Musar. The second one, on a more positive note, from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's Yedua. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said, he said, if you would ask me, who got a worse punishment? Bilam? Or Eev. The story of Eev is a story that's learned Adaye Mazen. It's a symbolism of Yisurim, Yisurei Eev. It's the most horrible life. He lost his family, he lost his children, he lost his money at Alas Faloyan. He literally is the epitome, goes down in history as the epitome of the Bala Yisurim. What happened to Bilam? He died. He was hit, a spear, whatever it was, he died in a second. So if you ask me, who got a worse deal? Eve had to suffer for years and years and years. Bilam lived a good life, and then in one second he died, and that was the end of it. So how you talking that Bilam, who was Yatz, his Oynish was Misa, and Eve that was Shasak, he was Nidim Yisurim, and Reb Chaim Shulevitz said that Azak Kasha, you could only answer by saying that the Kasha is not a Kasha. He says, we're making a mistake. The reason we think that Eve got a worse deal than Bilam is because we don't appreciate every moment of life. He said, if a person would appreciate every moment of life, if a person would be able to experience that and understand that, he would realize that Kasha Meikara Lesa, that there's no question that Bilam got worse, because Bilam died. And once you die, it's over. You check out. There's nothing you could do anymore. Not good, not bad, you have no Bechira, it's all over. Eev had the opportunity he was still able to accomplish. And being that he was still able to accomplish, no matter how bad his situation was, horrible life, but he was alive, as opposed to Bilam, who was not alive. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said that it's a Gemara in the end of Masechtas Kedushin, the Pe'am at Beis. Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Ma, what's Pshat in the Pasuk in Eev? Ma Yisoinin Odom Chai, Gever Al Chatov. And I'll just read to you Rashi, because the punchline is really in Rashi. Loma Yisoinin Odom Chai, meaning, Loma Yisroam Odom Alakaris Aboyisolov. How could a person ever complain for things that happened to him in his life? Achar Kola Chesed Shani Oisi Imoy, Shenasati Loichayim, Loivesi Olam Misa. At the end of the day, this person is alive, he's not dead. And being that he's alive, he has to appreciate the fact that he's alive. You take a person who's not alive and you offer him an opportunity to come back to this world, albeit with Yisurei Eev, 10 for 10, 100 for 100, everybody would take it. Because at the end of the day, you're alive. Yeah, you look at it from the perspective of being a healthy, functional person, it doesn't look like the life you want to live. But in proper perspective, a person realizes what he can do, there's no question that he's better off being alive, albeit with Yisurei Eev. I spoke earlier to my father's Rav, Rabbi Yosef Ehrenster, so he told me over a Gevaldige Kasha from the Chavis Yor. The Chavis Yor asks that we're familiar with the halacha of Tzar Balei Chaim. Right? Tzar Balei Chaim is a very basic halacha. And comes up in many different areas. You don't find anywhere tsar balei chayim when it comes to a human being. So you have to have tsar balei chayim for a frog. You have to have tsar balei chayim for a snail. But you don't have to have tsar balei chayim for a human being. We're not balei chayim. How are you talking? For example, there's halacha that in Hilchos Muktzah, there's a whole bunch of different, you let me mevatel kli lehechonoi for tsar balei chayim. How can you not find it by a person? So the Chavos Yoreh said, you know why? A tsar for a person is very different than tsar for an animal. An animal is not a bal seichel. So if an animal has tsar, what's he supposed to do? Nebuch, he's bitzar. He has no way of dealing with it. He can't go to a social worker. He can't go for therapy. What's he going to do? Can't take pills. He's nebuch, he's bitzar. He suffers. He suffers until he dies. There's no way for him to get around with it. Abayid hotach haseichel. He could be miskaber over his tsar. He could appreciate ma yisoyin in odom chay, gever al chatov. He could overcome it. Sinish dezal bitzar. Tsar is for balich. Tsar balichayim is where it's a real tsar. That's for behemoths. For a yid, a human being, not a yid, a human being, it doesn't pass the whole concept of tsar balei chayim.